Hi, my name is Sally Steenland, and I direct the Faith and Progressive Policy Initiative here at the Center for American Progress. With me today is Courtney Fowler. She's a member of our Faith and Reproductive Justice Leadership Institute, and she serves as the conference lay leader for the Great Plains Conference of the United Methodist Church. Courtney is an ambassador for the Healthy Families, Healthy Planet Project of the Board of Church and Society of the United Methodist Church, and she advocates for international family planning and funding. In honor of Women's History Month, and just in time for International Women's Day on Saturday, March 8, we've asked her to talk with us about her work on maternal and family health. So welcome, Courtney. We're so glad you're with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I want to start out with asking you about your work with mothers and with babies. And we know that in a lot of religious traditions, motherhood is held up as very valuable and as a blessed calling. And I want to ask you if you think that rhetoric, if our actions match the words we use in terms of how we value mothers, in the real world? And is there a gap between the two, or do you think we're doing a pretty good job? And what do you think we should be doing to actually promote healthy mothers and healthy families?
I think that is such an important question for us to ponder, because I definitely see that we value mothers and babies. I see that in media. I see that in advertising. We like to see mothers and we like to see babies as positive images. But I definitely see a disparity between our words and then how they are reflected in our actions. Every 2 minutes, a woman dies in childbirth somewhere in the world. And so that statistic represents a lot of mothers lost and a lot of children growing up without a mother. So it is my belief that we should be doing more to promote the health and wellness of mothers, women, and girls. And it starts with health care, specifically reproductive health care, to keep women healthy and safe.
So it sounds like that is some of the work that you're doing as a maternal health advocate in this project you work for called Healthy Mothers, Healthy Planet. And that's part of the United Methodist General Board of Church and Society. And I love the title of that project. So tell us how, if you sort of did an equal sign, healthy mothers equals healthy planet, how those two go together.
The Healthy Families, Healthy Planet Project advocates for women, and it strives for a world in which every woman can plan her children, plan her family, how many, and the spacing of her children, so that every family experiences God's promise of abundant life. And we see mothers taking on so many roles in families these days. In addition to caregiver, they're also the economic provider in many cases. And so the health of mothers is critical to ensuring that we are raising healthy children and healthy families as a result. And then the connection to the planet is that healthy families make healthy and productive societies, and therefore a healthy planet.
One of the things you just mentioned was family planning and the importance of that in terms of healthy moms being able to plan their children, space their families, and have families that thrive. And that clearly is a health issue, but you're talking about it in a broader sense in terms of human flourishing and someone's spiritual well-being. Can you just talk about that a little bit of how important family planning is to really women's flourishing and their families as well and society?
Oh, it's so critical. And from a faith perspective, we see that women and girls are of sacred worth. And once you really take that into your heart and know that, then of course we want to care for women. Of course we want to care for girls. Of course we want to provide them with health care. It's just having to see that with our eyes open and knowing that not giving them health care just accomplishes the very opposite, and it doesn't, as we said before, it doesn't match our words and our actions together.
And you're talking about family planning in terms of a broader range of healthcare, of caring for the whole person, and for women that includes their reproductive health. And we know that on the on the national level, there and even in states, there's been a public debate about religious objections to providing health care for women in the Affordable Care Act, and women having an important need for affordable and quality contraception. Do you see in your work when it actually plays out in real women's lives, does that controversy sort of seem to either diminish or vanish when it comes to real people versus a debate, or how do you see that playing out?
It's really frustrating as I see it, because we're talking about women's lives, and then using the argument of religious freedom to take away women's right to health care, their right to privacy. As I see it playing out nationally, I don't have to look very far here in my own state of Kansas to see this, and it's a huge concern for me, and it's a huge concern that faith voices are the ones that seem to be bringing this conversation to the table. So for me, it's really important to add my own faith voice, and where I'm bringing compassion and reason to this conversation. And it's important for other faith voices doing the same thing to be there as well.
And just to follow that through, so in other words, what you're saying is to have faith voices that actually support women's reproductive health and access to contraception for a religious liberty concern for women and not have those two be opposed to each other. Is that what you're
saying? That's right. They're certainly not opposed to each other. When you look at the faith and what that God has called us all to abundant life, really it's women that women and girls that care about their families, care about their health, and the two need to work together for God's desire for us all to have abundant health. We really need all those things working together.
That's true. You just mentioned living in Kansas, and you've also lived in South Africa. So in some ways, though, they are, I'm sure, thousands and thousands of miles apart. And can you just talk a little bit about, in each place, what is it like for mothers, and what is it like for reproductive health in each of those places?
Well, it's interesting, as obviously there are so many cultural differences, but at the root of motherhood, it's the same basic desire to care and protect your children. In South Africa, there's an obvious disparity of healthcare access. Women of economic means have access to really superb healthcare. Women, particularly women of Native descent, such as Zulu or Xhosa women, who I was familiar with, seem to experience limited care, as in maybe they didn't seek medical assistance until they were in labor, or there was limited prenatal care. And so when they were seeking care, they were faced with poorly equipped medical clinics. And actually, sadly, the HIV/AIDS crisis, at the time I lived there, was really ravaging the country. Mm. I lived in Durban, South Africa, which is in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, which at one point in time had the highest rate of HIV in the world. One in four people were affected. People just didn't have access to reproductive health care and basic contraceptives. And the government leaders at the time rather famously denied any connection
right.
between the disease
That's right.
and the HIV virus and its causes. So that was a huge disparity there.
Yeah.
But I would say in Kansas, on the other end, obviously we have health care, but even the phrase reproductive health has become such a lightning rod that it itself elicits sort of this contention and this controversy, and people sort of definitely don't want to enter into these what might be controversial conversations, and would rather just change the subject. So, and that's actually kind of alarming too. So there's just so many examples of reproductive health for women that's at risk, as you mentioned, denying insurance coverage for birth control, or like Kansas opting out of Medicaid expansion, which would have provided reproductive health care to women that are trying to make ends meet. And it's just a real really challenging climate for women's health here in Kansas.
I like your connection of similarities of mothers around the world wanting the best for their children and for their babies and for their families. When you talk about your work on global maternal health to audiences in the United States, what do you find? Is there a resonance there? Do people get very interested and concerned, or do people think that's so far away, I've got a lot on my own plate right here? What's the response of people when you talk about these issues globally?
Well, that's a great question, because I have been so pleasantly surprised as I have gone out to speak in front of groups, and specifically churches and women's groups such as the United Methodist Women. And I really frame it in terms of the ministry work that the United Methodist Church is doing to help improve maternal care around the world, because it's such an important ministry in our church. And when they have the opportunity to have someone make the connection for them of what reproductive health care means to women that don't have it in the world, and then the consequences of not having it, of children that may or may not be left behind, you know, when their mothers and their parents die because they've lacked access to reproductive health care. When you see people make that connection and hear it and see it with pictures and everything, then they realize, wow, this really is an important issue. This really is something that is part of our spiritual work, it's part of our ministry, it's part of our work in the church, and that to me is really the best, it's really the best feeling for me. It's the value that I get out of doing what I do. I really like making that connection for people, mm-hmm. And helping them see that really we're all connected.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, a woman's lack of reproductive health care in Africa compared to how it's at risk for women here in Kansas. And once you make that connection, wow, you can see the change in people, especially women that have been around, that have seen where we were before in Kansas with access and reasonable people leading us in the legislature to where we are now. Yeah, I really enjoy making that connection.
It sounds like a very powerful connection, and it sounds like it's very powerful within faith communities as well. I want to follow up on that in terms of your work in South Africa. You recently wrote a really beautiful piece that I just loved reading about living in South Africa and the work you did there and your experiences there. And you talked about really finding your spiritual voice in your work. And you were not a missionary per se when you were there, but your faith and your spirituality was so infused in what you did. Can you just talk about, and actually making you bolder, can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yes. Well, I had a friend who was part of an organization that provided early childhood development to orphanages, and they would go in and read books and toys and spend time with babies and small children once or twice a week, very limited, actually. And I was really struck. I mean, it's very gripping to be in that setting with children that have lost their parents. And actually, pretty much you could say that most of them had lost their parents due to the HIV/AIDS crisis. You could make that direct link with why they were there. And it's just a feeling that I really will never quite get over. I've spent the last, 10 years sort of wrestling and trying to come to terms with what I've experienced there. And I think that what drives me is that I see that obvious connection is if their parents had access to reproductive health care, it's such an obvious connection, they might be having a different life today.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that does drive my work. It's stories that I share when I go out and I talk with groups, and it's sad. I mean, these are orphanages that are doing the best they can with the resources that they have, but you will really find it so striking how what a loss not having even just a mother is to all of these children. It was really, really, it really affected me even to this day.
And then you're able to convey that message and those stories in a really vivid way. And then you carry that, as you were saying, in the work that you do, in the presentations you make with people around the country. Just making that connection is really important. We all have families that we value. We all know how important it is for children to grow up with a parent, and how profound that loss can be. And it's easy to shut out the experience of others who are far away, who we don't know. And I think you're making that connection is just really, really powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do it, like I say, it was really advocacy training through the Healthy Family, Healthy Planet project that just, I feel like, helped me claim my voice, helped me find what was in me, my passion, and sort of live that out through my faith. So really, it's been a blessing for me to be able to do that. And I value that experience. And, you know, I'm so happy to go when I'm invited to places and share this story. It's a calling that I get to live out.
Yeah, and that's sort of passion is very authentic, and it's very inspiring. It's really compelling. And you're happy to share your work with audiences, and we're really happy that you are with us this year and one of the leaders in our Faith and Reproductive Justice Leadership Institute. And we're so glad you're part of that. Can you just talk a little bit about why you joined and why that work feels important to you?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's such a privilege just to be part of a faith community that speaks from a faith perspective to advocate for those whose voices aren't heard. And I see the work just being so important because people need to hear from faith voices that bring, once again, compassion and reason to the table. And reproductive justice simply speaks to a woman's and a mother's need for health care so that she can plan her family, that they can enjoy that abundant life that God intends. And so I think the faith community needs to be reminded of this. But also on a personal note, you know, I have two daughters of my own. One is 16 and one is 12. And it's just really important to me that they see that their mother is claiming her faith and trusting her faith and using her voice to speak up when I see injustice. And that also is an important element to my faith, is just trusting that God can use me to help others in some way. You know, and the Bible gives us so many examples of strong women whose faith propelled them to speak out or act bravely. So that's just, it's really important to me so that my own girls see me living into my faith that way. And the Faith and Reproductive Justice Leadership Institute is just really a powerful voice for those whose voices aren't heard. And so I feel really proud to be a member of that.
Thank you. I've got one last question for you, Courtney. You live in Kansas, which in some ways has been ground zero for some of the attacks on women's reproductive health. So you're seeing up close, you know, some of the really quite severe restrictions against a range of women's reproductive health and rights. And so I just want to ask you, what gives you hope? Our conversation just now has a lot of energy, has a lot of hope in it. And in some ways, the facts on the ground are kind of discouraging and even beyond discouraging. So what gets you up in the morning and just gives you hope to keep on going?
That is such a great statement because I am so hopeful. And I feel like when I read, I get up and I read the internet or I read a newspaper and I see Kansas being portrayed in this way that doesn't feel like the Kansas that I know, and it doesn't feel like the people around me that I know, and it doesn't feel like anything that I recognize about this state, which really does have great people, smart people, compassionate people. And I realize that their faith voices that are driving these conversations, that are driving these efforts, are just loud. They're just the ones that are getting heard. And so I think what gives me hope is that I have my own faith voice to add, and when I do, it resonates with people. I see people listening and getting what I say and understanding that it's important for us all to speak out. So that absolutely gives me hope. It absolutely drives me to go to the next church I go to, visit a lot of rural churches way out in the way out in the country, and I see a lot of great people that maybe haven't had that voice that adds a different perspective to what they're hearing. And so I'm so happy to do that, because at the end of the day, I know that they are caring people, that they too love children, that they too care about women and women's health, and they just really need to have someone make that connection for them. And they also need to know that their church is doing really valuable ministry in the world, and for them that they can claim that as well as part of their own faith. So really, I'm driven by a lot of positive things, and I feel very optimistic that, you know, one relationship at a time, we can make a difference.
Well, that really gives us hope, too. That is just wonderful to hear. And I think you're right that there are, and maybe the tide is turning, that good people whose voices haven't been heard, who maybe haven't been organized or haven't coalesced together, you're helping turn that tide, raising awareness, raising visibility, bringing those voices together so that voices for justice, for mercy, for women, and for faith get heard in the public debate and make a change.
I really hope they do. I feel like it can happen, and I hope and pray that it does.
Courtney, well, if it does, a lot of it will be through the really good work that you're doing. Thank you so, so much for talking with us today.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks, Courtney. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay, bye.